I lied. I told her it was homework, that my teacher told me to do it, and she got fired. Yeah, that's what happened. So after that, lying was easy for me. Lied about my age and joined the army. I was 13 at the time. Yeah. I went to Vietnam, and I was injured catching a mortar shell in my teeth. And they made me a 3-star general. And then I got a job in journalism, writing for the National Geographic. Yes, I was making $20,000 a month. In fact, I won the Pulitzer Prize that year. Yeah, that's a ticket. And then my cousin died, Joe Louis, and I took it hard. Maybe too hard. I tried to kill myself. Yeah, I did kill myself. And then it was a woman that brought me out of it. What is it? Indira Gandhi. Yeah, that's her wife. And she told me about Pathological Liars Anonymous. Oh, you'd be surprised how many famous people belong. Why, in fact, at one of the meetings I met my wife, Morgan Fairchild. Yes, I'm a changed man now, and it's all because of Pathological Liars Anonymous. Why, I even have my picture on the cover of Newsweek magazine. Yeah, every day. Yeah, that's it, ticket. You bet it is. You can guarantee I let.
Hey, guys. Welcome. All right, on the count of three, I'm going to say, hey, guys. One, two, three. Hey, guys. Hey, there you go. I love it. So we just got back from South Plainfield. Awesome thing. God's just, every week, God's bringing in new folks in this location and in that location. We're so happy to see you. And because of that, I have $5,000 for each of you today, all right, for coming out. Yeah, that's the ticket, right. Well, if you didn't guess already, today we are, and I'm not lying about that, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today, communion. But before we do that, believe it or not, we're already into the ninth commandment because we combine commandments one and two. We're in the ninth commandment. We're going through a series called Breaking Free from Breaking Bad, which is an awesome series on the Ten Commandments. Remember we said the Ten Commandments basically are God's instructions to his kids. The heavenly loving Father, he loves you so much, he wants to give you, just like I mentioned before, my grandfather used to share heartfelt instructions. Sonny, this is what you do for a great life. And this is what this is all about. So now we're already into the ninth one, and it's going to be in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. By the way, if you're our first-time guest, this is a connection card. You can hold that up, and you can fill that out to your heart's content. You put your name, your email. We'll keep in touch with you. We'll pray for you. If you have any kind of need, we want to know about it because we want to be a loving church that's there for folks. So there you go. Right after service today, and I don't mean to sidetrack, but I'm going to do it. Right after service today, we have something called Firm Foundations. It's going to be meeting downstairs in, I believe, the terrace room. There's lunch served, and it's an awesome time how to share your faith with Jesus or reasons today why, you know, to defend your faith. It's an awesome, awesome time. Come out for that. But we are in chapter 20, verse 16 of Exodus. There's a message guide there. You can follow that along with you as you wish. And let's talk about Exodus 20:16 for a minute, but let's open in prayer first. Father God, I thank you so much for all the amazing things you're doing in this place. I thank you for your love. We pray for the unspoken request today. Those of us that maybe we just came in with a heavy heart or we have a financial need or a physical need, whatever it is, Father, you are in charge. You love us and you created us. You know what's best for us. And we give it all to you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So what exactly does this mean? And this is I spent a whole bunch of time studying this, the question of Exodus 20:16. And Exodus 20:16 basically says in the NIV version, we have it right up there, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And in other versions, it says lie. And we have I worked in court many years, and I loved going into court, especially when I would do mediation, and the guy wanted to go to court instead of settling a case, and I said, be my guest. and I knew he was like full of it and telling untruths, and I loved to hear him get on the stand, and I loved to hear the, aren't I horrible? Am I a horrible person for wanting that? Because he wasn't being truthful, and I just loved hearing him give false testimony, which is called perjury, and I loved seeing what happened after that, because I told him before going in, this is going to happen if you do this. And so many of us, we think of the ninth commandment as not lying. But if you look into the Hebrew, into the literal Hebrew of this, and we did lots of study, looked at lots of commentaries, it's a much broader spectrum than just that. In fact, this is what it says right here. You shall not speak to or about. There's a preposition there. It could be translated to or about your fellow man or woman, as the case may be, in a way, or chief fan. I'm a Raider fan, and I don't like the Chiefs, and I'm looking at it. But don't speak badly about your fellow man in a way that can do what? That is false, that is deceitful, disloyal, or causes injury. So if you think right away now, you're looking at this broader spectrum of exactly what this all takes in. And pretty much, we're all pretty much under this umbrella. I could think there's a number of times. How many of us have been falsely accused of things in our lives? When you heard, oh, yeah, man, that's horrible to go through that, isn't it? It's a horrible thing to have someone falsely accuse you. How many of you have been deceived? Maybe it was a deal that you made with someone, or even a relationship. You felt a little deceived. Or how many have felt the sense of being, you know, you thought they were loyal and they like totally messed you over. You know, okay, a number of us were like that. Or even causes injury of some type because of the stories that were told. These are really sins of the mouth, right? Sins of the tongue, in a sense, right? This is what we're talking about here in the broad concept. But so what ways do we violate as Christians, or can we violate Exodus 20:16? There's a variety of ways, but today we're just going to talk about three, and we're basing this all on four questions today. So the first question was, what exactly does this passage mean? And we already talked about that, and now we're going to talk about how or ways that we can actually violate this, because many times say, all right, thou shalt not lie, let's get on with it. But no, there's a little more than that. And first way is lying, in fact. The first way is lying. Thou shalt not lie. Why is that in there? Well, for the simple reason that we have a God and a Savior, amazing, that it says in Scripture, and Titus 1:2 says that God cannot lie. His very nature of who he is, the very essence of who God is, that he is truth. Remember, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no lies in him. That when you go to him and what he says is true, he is true himself. He calls himself truth itself, himself. And that's one of the reasons he expects. So if you would expect that if you're offspring, and if you're a Christian today, you're his offspring. That's a thought. You're his offspring. And he said, well, if I'm like this son or daughter, I mean, I expect you to be like this too. That only makes sense, right? It only makes total sense. Then that's why God does not want that. And you could go back all the way, even in the Garden of Eden. Another reason for it is for not having us lie is that the original liar, he says, you know, in 8 John 8:58, he called the followers who the Jewish leaders at that time, those that didn't believe in Jesus, he said, "You're like the father, the devil, and he's a liar. He's a liar, and he's the father of lies, and he's a murderer." And in fact, in the Genesis, you'll see that Satan used all these, this meaning of this whole meaning that we're talking about in Exodus 20:16. He used the deceit and lies, and he brought injury, and he slandered who God was. He said, you know, God didn't say this. He did all of it right there. And that is why this is such a serious thing to God, to tell the truth. And in Scriptures, you know, it's one of seven things that God can't stand. There are things God hates. Yes, there are things, and one of them is lying tongue. He hates that. And if you want to be blessed, is to, you know, share the truth. In Proverbs, there's tons of Proverbs talking about how blessed you will be if you simply share the truth. Now, that's so easy to say, right? But is it hard to do sometimes? There's a study done, and you can look around right now, but there was a study done, University of Massachusetts did a study. It says the average person, that means you guys, So I don't know what to believe or not believe. It says the average person lies at least 2 times every 10 minutes. So, you know, you're all a bunch of liars in this place, all right? Typically, don't be giving me any lip on that one. Typically, though, there are some people that can actually are pathological, like the guy on our screen, John Lovitz and his little skit, that typically lie up to 20 times every 10 minutes. It's just, you know, the way, and now lying in the context of this definition, but you know, interesting thing, they spent millions of dollars on this study. They interviewed thousands of people, and they came up with the final conclusion, which I thought was interesting and kind of silly, is that they said, honesty is the best policy. Duh! I mean, they had to, it's like the government almost. They had to spend all this money telling us what was written 3,500 years ago that you know, honesty is the best way, but they had to spend all that money and resources to tell us that honesty is really the best policy. Second way we can violate this command is this. And it's in your notes, is that we break our word. This is very serious with God. How many of us have been on the broken end of a broken word, you know? I remember my dad, he had his own business, and he didn't have contracts, which is interesting, right? You would think, what are you, nuts? Are you crazy? And he said, no, back then, I'm a man of my word, and he would just shake hands with the dude or the dudess, as the case may be, and he was a custom interior decorator, and I remember Christmas Eve, and there was a deal, and he just shook the hand of the person saying, hey, you know, your word is good enough for me, and vice versa, and they kept each other's word. God does not, you know, amazingly, God is a God who keeps his word, and he expects us to keep our words and our commitments. And that would fall under, as you look at that definition, you should not speak to or for or against your fellow man in a way that is deceitful. And that's a way of breaking your word. When you make a commitment, God says, hey, keep your word. There's a next scripture. There should be a scripture right after that. It says, listen, 2 Corinthians 1:17, Paul said this. He says, do you think I make plans carelessly, he says? Or am I like the world where, you know, I say one thing, I say yes, when they really mean no? Jesus himself, he said, in Matthew 5:37, I believe it is, he said, let your yes be yes. I think there's a scripture after that. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Just say it. Just say it. And, you know, it just reminds me of our politicians a lot of times in our society. You know, they promise certain things, they make a promise, and then they break the promise. You might have heard a number of years ago, read my lips, no more taxes, for those that are old enough to remember that. We heard recently, you could keep any health insurance policy you want, and, you know, you don't have to change. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. You'll be safe. And then, well, not exactly, it's not really the case, but it is the case, but not the case. You see, there is a malfunction, and this and that, and so forth. And I'm apolitical, so I'm just pointing out that these things happen in our society. But God expects us to keep our word, because he keeps his word. Is there another scripture after that? Here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, this is the reason, because he says this, guys, look, if you have a promise, if you make a promise to God, keep it. Don't, if you don't make it, if you can't keep it, don't make it at all. Don't say you're going to be somewhere and not show up. Don't say you're going to love me and you're going to, Lord, I just love you so much. I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. I'm going to be there. Thank you, God. If you get me out of this jam, I promise, Lord, I'll go to church every Sunday. I'll tithe 10%. I'll do this. You know, I just love you to death. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you so much. And when things are fine and things are going good in your life, all of a sudden, well, you see, I'm busy today. I have other things to do today. I have to cut the lawn. Someone has to cut the lawn. Dude, you're going to be buried 6 feet under in that lawn someday, right? I mean, so God says this, hey, you know, he takes no pleasure in fools. That means people who do not keep their promises. He says, keep all the promises you make to him. It's better to say nothing than not to make a promise. In Acts 5, this is a very serious thing. In Acts chapter 5, I believe it is, Sapphira, and who's the other dude's name? Ananias. They made a promise to God. They were going to give away a certain amount of money. And in fact, they said it publicly. We're giving away all this money, and we're so happy about it. We thank you, God. We're so. And Peter came up to them and said, hey, dude, you are lying to the Holy Spirit. And they were dropped dead immediately. This is how serious God takes keeping their promises and deceit and lying, because it's so connected to the Father of lies. It's so connected. God wants you to have an amazing relationship with him, and it's all built on truth. What kind of relationship would it be that you would have with someone if there's no truth in it? How in the world could you have a relationship with someone if everything they said was, I was over here yesterday, that's right, yeah. And you see, what kind of relationship can that be? That's not a relationship. And God wants us to have that kind of heart relationship with him. And that's why it's so important to keep promises. You know, a lot of us, it's hard, though, to tell the truth. It's hard to keep a promise. But it's awkward sometimes, isn't it, to tell the truth or keep a promise? Many of us have difficult times with that. I understand that. But God says we should speak the truth in love. You know, imagine if, you know, Jesus had, look at all the wonderful promises in his word. You know, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. What an amazing promise that is when you're going through difficulty. I remember at my dad's deathbed, I shared John 11:25. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who die, yet if they believe in me, yet shall they live. What promises we have. We could bank on God's promises. We could believe in God's promises. We could actually, you know, put our whole life goals on God's promises. We decided to leave what we're doing as a career to start Oasis Church because we believe in God's promises, that he cares about lost people and wants them found, and we want to fill this place up with unchurched people. That's why we're here. We should have a passion for that. Imagine what it would be like if God was like us with our promises, and we die and we go to those, you know, pearly gates, right, and we're looking at, and you have up there, some angel or something at the gates or whoever it is, and you're looking through and say, I'm sorry, you're not on our website, okay? There's been a malfunction. You know, I know we promised you eternal life if you, that's your, in a sense, life insurance policy. I know we promised that to you, but there's, you know, I'm sorry, there's no room for you. You'll have to go to the lower level, if you know what I mean. Can you imagine that if we couldn't trust God and his promises? Your whole faith, this is the reason you're here today, the only reason I hope you're here today, not just to feel good about yourself, but the reason you're here today is because you believe, you trust in, you're banking on God's promises. That's the reason we're here today. So there's two reasons why we violate this command, and one way is lying, and I want to come back to that in a second. Another way is we don't keep our word. Now, another thing is this. Another way is this. A third way is by, and that's really in line with causing injury to someone. And this is, I think, probably the most important, so I want to talk about it even in more detail, but it's we commit verbal character assassination against folks. And that, you know, you could call it these things spin, you know, no spin zone. You could call it like, you know, doctoring up the truth or fudging, or you call it a malfunction, whatever you call it, it's all breaking the commandment. But here, you know, it's basically gossip, it's basically slander, and it's a very important thing to our Lord. It's a very serious thing. You know, the word devil, diabolos, that word there for the devil is really the root word for slanderer. He's day and night, he's before the throne of God, it says in Scripture, he's slandering you. And he's bringing accusation to you. He's saying, you're someone, you're this, you're that, you're that. You may have even heard his voice yourself. You're no good, you're rotten, why are you even here? What kind of Christian are you? You're this, you're that. He's falsely, maliciously accusing you. He maliciously accused God. Did God really say that? You know, and you know how it is. And, you know, human beings, how do we do that? Oh, my, did you hear what such and such did yesterday? Girl, you're kidding me. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was up till 3 a.m., and I saw the car go on in there, and they're both in there. I don't know what was going on. Of course, what they're doing is they're, like, using their words to bring a false accusation, a gossip. We've all been there. We've all done that. We all love to hear it, too, don't we? Admit it. You love to hear juicy pieces of morsels because that's it's just the human nature way of things. This is why God talks about it so much around that water cooler at work. Oh, yeah. But there's a scripture, God doesn't like gossip. You know, slander brings the worst destruction on a church, a government, a team, a family, anywhere you go. In Leviticus 19:16 says, don't spread. What does he say? That word spreading, it's a word, it's like, picture like yeast, what yeast does to dough. It's like, it starts and it just like goes in one spot and then just it just spreads all over the place. And you could have, you know, you could be of the best, noblest character, and if one person says something, it could be shared all over. And even though it's not true, many people, you know, perception is reality. Many people will, even though they can be confirmed that this didn't happen, in our hearts, we could be looking at that person differently from then on. Even though we heard it, but we're always saying, well, maybe it did happen. Am I alone in this? Right? That's why this is such a dangerous thing. It says, do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. And, you know, your whole life can be destroyed by your slander against someone, by your slander, not just about fellow Christians, but people out there. We should be very careful. You know, we should never attack people, their character. We should just attack the problem. I can't stand these commercials and these politicians. All they're doing is they're attacking each other and they're slandering their character. They don't know each other's character, really. They're just trying to win an election, and it's really ticking me off. And it's like, talk to the issue, buddy, all right? Don't talk to me about this guy did that and did this and did that. Talk to me to the issue. And that's what God's saying in his word. Be truthful. Speak the truth in love. Don't character assassinate. And, you know, sometimes, but it is hard. It is hard to tell the truth. I mean, you have people that ask you questions. You know, it's like, I recently went to a reunion. Well, it was my 35th high school reunion. Don't I look great for having a 35th high school reunion? Are you lying? Are you lying? You're lying now, aren't you? But that's okay if you are. But I was just going to say, so we were there. I actually didn't go to the reunion because, I don't know, I didn't make it, but I paid $90 for it. But I was on the planning committee of Scotch Plains Family, 1977 planning committee. And I walked in there, and I'm looking around, and who are all these old people in there? And I'm thinking, like, who are these people? And then one dude, his name was Malone, and he says, hey, here's Carrie. And now Carrie was the prom queen in 1977. She was the hottest girl. Guys, I'm going to tell you, she was hotter than hot. All right? And she was my lab partner in biology, and I couldn't prick myself because we had to do this test with pricking our fingers and getting the blood. I couldn't do it, and she did it for me, and I was like shaking, you know, I was all like, oh my gosh, Carrie is giving me. So he introduces me to this girl, Carrie, and I'm going, who's that? To him. He goes, that's Carrie, you know, Carrie, the homecoming queen. I go, get out of here. That's not Carrie. She goes, yes, that's Carrie. And I said, oh, my. And the best of me, and then this guy goes up and she says, Carrie, you look so beautiful. You look just like you did in your yearbook picture. And then he turns over to me and he goes, oh, my, I can't believe that. She was like totally like, you know, like totally like bloated out, totally a different person. And I didn't even recognize her. And the idea, though, is, you know, we lie sometimes to protect ourselves. We lie sometimes. We don't tell the truth to not hurt other people, right? And these are different ways that we could do it. And we could also lie to hurt other people. This is what this is all about here in the third way in which we violate Exodus 20:16. So we can lie. We can break our word. We can character assassinate. Let's go to question 3. This leads us to that. I want to center on the slander because it's such an important thing. why is talking bad about other people so bad? I mean, that should be self-explanatory, except that it really isn't all the time. There's really lots of us today, and this is a truth more than anything else in a church. I believe, and I've been in a church, I've been a Christian, since I was 19. I believe that slander and gossip is the worst thing. It's the thing that destroys more churches than anything else. In fact, you can't find a family today that's in dissension where there's not one person that is talking badly about the other person in a family situation. And a church is an extended family, right? It is a family. Look at any football team or baseball team where there's an issue, and you're going to see slander. You're going to see people talking trash about other people, and it's going to be a difficult situation, and it just causes so much dissension, and it divides, and it's a tool that Satan uses to really break up families, break up churches. So many places that I've been to in my Christian life. Hopefully our church never becomes like that. We take this very, very seriously. If you ever feel that anyone's talking, if you feel that someone, you've heard someone, we've lost a number of people who were talking about their kids being brats. And instead of going to the Matthew 18 rule, instead of going to that person and say, hey, dude, you know, I want to help you with your child, and in love, speaking the truth in love, they just started talking about how horrible these monsters are. Now, none of you guys have monsters, but how horrible it is. And so the folks ended up leaving the church because they were hurt and they were disappointed. And many of us can get disappointed and hurt, and so we don't ever want to be like that. So if you ever have a situation where you're feeling, hey, you know, I'm being talked about, come to the leadership, and then lovingly go to that person and lovingly confront them in love. It's all about speaking the truth in love. Now, isn't there times, though, where the truth has to be spoken, and sometimes it could be a hard word? The truth hurts sometimes. God is not saying don't share the truth. He's just saying share it in love. There's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. And my one friend in his bedroom, he had that on his telephone, Ephesians 4, 29, and it said, let no unwholesome talk come out. I like that. He put it on his telephone. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for what? Building up for according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And so whatever truth we share should be done in a way that's going to benefit. It might be a hard word sometimes. It might be a word like, hey, you know, you really messed up. But it's a word, if it's spoken in love, they'll know the difference. And we're going to have communion today. And before I share communion, you know, the biggest deceit of all is how we deceive ourselves. And many of us, we deceive ourselves. 1 John 1:8, you know, says those of us who claim that we have no sin, that we do have sin. It says, you know, we deceive ourselves if we say we have no sin. And but Jesus also says in 1 John 1:9, this is God's word. In that sense, it's Jesus talking, but it's John talking, writing it down. He says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When you really think about it, this command or this instruction is so important because the Lord desires relationship with us. He desires a heart-to-heart relationship, an intimate relationship. He sent his son, Jesus, his only boy. He sent him to earth to die for us, to be on a cross, to suffer all the wrongs, for all the wrongs we ever committed, for all the wrongs we ever suffered. He died for us on the cross, made us never get too old. He took all of our burden. He's saying, come to me, give me all your burden, give me all of your hurt that you might have been hurt by others, and you know what? Give me all your sin. You've messed up. You've sinned. It's called sin. You've fallen short of my glory. You might have hurt other people. You might have hurt other people very seriously. No matter what you've done, he says, I'll forgive you if you come to me in faith. Come to me with nothing but that broken heart. Come to me with nothing but that openness. And truthfulness is openness. Where there's truth, there's openness, there's vulnerability, there's a chance for true relationship. That's why it's so important for God to have us be honest with him and open with him. And it's all about laying our hearts before him. We are in desperate need of him. We are in desperate need of a cleansing in our hearts, of to getting all the junk out. You know, we lie to ourselves so often about that we're fine, we're this, we're that, when we're not fine. We need a Savior. His name is Jesus. And so we're going to come and celebrate what he's done for us. And so what does it mean? How do we then live our lives according to this passage of Exodus 20:16? How can we live a life that's pleasing to God and tell the truth? I think the first point is this, and that's our last question, is to speak less, right? I mean, it's so simple. And you're never going to regret. There's this one guy, I don't have the exact quote, but he says, I regret things I say. I never regret things I don't say. And you taught when you were younger, your parents used to teach you. My mom didn't, but we teach our kids this. If you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say anything at all. And of course, I'm not good at that. But but it's so true. You know, in James, it talks about the tongue being such a crazy thing. You can't tame it. The craziest things come out of our mouths. We praise God with one hand, and we curse him with another, right? We just do things. And here it is, too much talk leads to sin. It's just, you know, sounds like a politician again, if you talk too much, or even a preacher. If you go past the hour, you know, you're pretty much, it's not going to come out too good. My one friend at the other site, he goes, you know, no soul saved past the hour. After that, you're like, you know, but the idea is true. Too much, when there's many words, different translation, sin is present. And there's many words. You talk too much. You be sensible. Keep your mouth shut. I like that. I like that version. Keep your mouth shut. It's not being nasty. They're just saying it like it is in Scripture. You know, another thing is this. Another way to apply this is to say only those things that glorify God. We already mentioned Ephesians 4:29. So as we come before the table of the Lord, I want to ask you a question. How truthful are you with God right now? What are you running away from? Some of us are constant runners. We're like the runaway bunny. You know, we're always running away from God for some reason. We're running away from ourselves. I have a friend who called me today. He says, you know, I need to find myself. I don't know who I am. I'm running away from myself. If you want to know who you are, go to the Creator who created you. His name is Jesus. He's the only one. He knows how you tick. He knows everything about you. You don't have to be ashamed of your garbage because he already knows your garbage. He allowed you to choose that garbage. He loves you. He pleads with you from a broken heart to come home. God wants you to come home. This whole commandment is about coming home in truth. Think of the guy, the prodigal son. He came to his senses. That means he came to understand his heart and said, you know what? I'm going to go to my father. I left him, and I wanted this, and I wanted that, and I lived my life, and look, I screwed my life up. I sinned. I ended up with pigs. I have nothing to eat. I used to have everything. I have nothing now. I'm going to go to him, and I'm going to confess, Dad, I just messed up. I'm not even worthy to be called your kid. I'll be one of your servants. And the heart of God is, look what he did. He opened his arms. He was waiting for him the whole time. And you see in that passage of Luke 15, he was waiting for his son to return. That's an amazing thing. Let's not make this old. We need to get excited about Jesus, all right? Let's not get old with this. His father was waiting, and it's a picture of the Heavenly Father. He was waiting for his son, looking out over the horizon, saying, my son's coming home someday. I hope that breaks your heart. If it doesn't, you need to repent. Because that's the heart of God. And we need to get fired up for these lost and hurting people here that need Jesus Christ. This is not a game. This is eternal life or eternal death. And God opened his arms to his son and wrapped his arms around him and said, quick, get a robe, you know, get the best thing. We're gonna have a party tonight. And that guy was truthful. That's why that father reacted in that way. God wants us to be truthful. As we come to the communion service, open your heart up to him and let God speak to you. This is open to everyone here if you're a believer in Jesus. If you're not a believer in Jesus, if you're not sure, we're all the same. We're all in the same boat here. It's all a matter of just confessing him, saying, God, I messed up. I want to be forgiven. I want to know you in a special way. I want to know what it's like to have eternal life. I want to break free from breaking bad and acknowledge your sin. Be truthful with him. And he says, and believe that he died for you on the cross, and then confess him as your Lord and Savior. Don't be ashamed of him. If you say you're a Christian, then live like it. Meaning, when someone's on the street and you know they need Jesus, share it with them. Let them know that there's a better way, because Jesus is there today and he's real. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. You know. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to bow our heads. And then I'm going to share something special after that. But I'm going to call the guys forward who's doing communion. I think we have a number of people I'm going to call forward to do that. And I'll call you guys, Jeff. And I'm going to call Evelyn. Would you come forward to help? Thank you. And there's a scripture in Corinthians. I believe it's on the screen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Maybe one more person to help serve. Jesse, would you like to help serve? Oh, thank you, Dave. It says here, this is Paul talking. He says, listen, guys, whatever I receive from Jesus, I'm going to pass on to you. He says, on the night he was betrayed, it says he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body. I do this in remembrance of me. And then, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying, this is the blood, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you drink, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And that's why we're doing this. We're actually thinking about how Jesus died for us on that cross. So do we have some music for folks? Or what I'd like to do is, as we're passing the bread, if we don't, and that's okay. Dave, you could leave that off. You could leave that off now, Dave. As we pass this around, I want you to meditate on what Jesus means to you. And if you have something you want to share, if you want to stand up and proclaim why you're thankful to Jesus, you could do that as we're passing this bread and this wine. And be our guest to just to share from your heart your remembrance of the mercy that God had in your life. And we're going to take that now. And we can keep silence on as we do that. Why don't we pass that out now? And, oh, you know what? I'm sorry. We're going to come up here. I apologize. I saw this and I thought that. So as you guys come up, you can start from the end sides and work your way around. And if there's anyone that just wants to share from their heart, please feel free to do that. Amen. You guys can start from the sides and walk your way through. Like, come up. I know it's a little awkward, but you could walk around through here. I think there's enough room here, right there. Yeah, I was like, hoping you'd come up. Yeah, good. I'm open. Come on up. Does anyone that God has put on their heart that they'd like to share something that they're thankful for as they're thinking about the cross of Jesus, thinking about the suffering he went through, anything at all? If anyone feels, don't feel that you're forced to, but if there's anything that God has put on your heart for that, feel free to do that. That's okay.
I'm very grateful for Jesus Christ. Is this on?
Is the mic on?
I'm very extremely grateful for Jesus Christ every day because of what he's done, it has allowed me to